Habakkuk chapter number 3, the book of Habakkuk chapter number 3. This is our last sermon in the series of the book of Habakkuk. After missions conference, we will begin another series on a book of the Bible. We'll be in the Old Testament. We're still praying in where the Lord's leading on that. And I hope you've enjoyed Habakkuk. I have. Some of my favorite verses are found here in these last couple sections here. Last week we talked about the one verse when it talks about in verse 16, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. And I really enjoyed that thought we looked at last week. This week is a thought that a few years ago, probably, I don't know, 2012, 2013, around Thanksgiving, we gave this thought about, yet I will rejoice. And that's how we're closing up this book, the way that Habakkuk closed up. It's Habakkuk chapter number 3. We're going to look at verses 17 through 20. 17 through 20 tonight. Give you a little background. Most of you have been here. But remember, Habakkuk, we see the beginning of the book opening up, something that we're familiar with. Habakkuk goes before God and says, God, I'm surrounded by this wickedness. Nation is becoming evil. Why aren't you doing something about it? And God responds back to Habakkuk. As we mentioned before, this is similar to a conversation back and forth between Habakkuk and God. And God says, I am doing something. He reveals unto Habakkuk what he's doing. And he says, the nation of Babylon is coming. It will come down and destroy the land. You will be taken into captivity. Once again, we say those things, but we got to remember what that means. He's losing his family, or, you know, many times people are dying. I mean, people are taking as if a foreign country came into ours and destroyed everything that was precious to us, took all our young people back to their country and began to train them to be like that. Habakkuk is overwhelmed and says, how can you take someone who is wicked and more wicked than us and punish us with them? How can you do that? And in chapter number 2, God responds to that. Habakkuk says, I'm going to my high tower, I'm going to the watchtower, and I will listen for what your answer is. And God says, the just shall live by his faith. Here's the thing is, when no matter what everything is going on in life, God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to live, but I want you to live my faith. And he then reveals in chapter 2, as we looked at, 5 different reasons why Babylon would also be destroyed. And in chapter number 3, you see a completely different man. From chapter 1, you see one that's complaining. In chapter 3, you see one who's rejoicing. Chapter 1, you see one who is questioning God. Chapter 3, he is just saying, God, whatever you want. And in chapter 1, he's saying, bring judgment. Chapter 3, he's saying, please remember mercy. So we've gone through all that, and we get to chapter 3, verse 17. He's finishing up with this poem, in a sense, his rejoicing, his giving this back to God. And there are some wonderful thoughts in here tonight, and I think you'll enjoy tonight's message as we look at this. Yet will I rejoice. Habakkuk chapter number 3, verse 17, the Bible says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Now, as you read verse number 17, you will see that Habakkuk is saying, this is what's going to happen, or even though these things happen, you see the word although at the beginning of 17, the word yet at the beginning of 18. Those two are the main words inside this little passage of scripture. Although these things are going to happen, yet I will do this. So let's look here. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. So Habakkuk saying, this is what's going to happen when the nation of Babylon comes. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be as a famine. There's not going to be anything there. And in verse number 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He's saying, you can bring the worst circumstances that come to your mind. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. Although all these things are going to happen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Look at some of the things he says he'll rejoice in. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You see here that he is saying that no matter what happens, I am still going to rejoice. And I think this is a great passage of scripture. I think it's a great truth that if we would learn as Christians, it could change our lives. No matter what happens, no matter what happens in this world, you know what? I'm still going to choose to rejoice. And sometimes people like to be critical. Sometimes people like to be bitter. Sometimes people like to complain. It's hard to do those things when you're rejoicing in the Lord. And I know that circumstances are not easy. Circumstances many times are overwhelming. We think about this story here. Habakkuk has just been told his nation is going to be pretty much utterly overrun, that the young people, the choice young people, are going to be taken. The older people, for the most part, are going to be put to death. They're going to pick apart the temple, and at one point in time, they're just going to tore up and destroy what they consider one of the most precious things in their heritage, the temple. And he says, yet I will still rejoice. Yet I choose to rejoice. This is not an easy thing to do, but I think what it shows us is that no matter what happens in our life, we can be victorious in our Christian lives. No matter what comes, we can have the faith that God can work the plan out. No matter what the heartbreaking issue is, no matter how much suffering we go through, no wonder we can still say, I'm going to rejoice in something. We might not rejoice in the circumstances, but there is a God that we can rejoice in and that we can rejoice with. And you know, it's important to understand this. I know it might seem kind of insincere or seem like it's easy to say, hard to live through. But this is what Habakkuk is showing us. This is what God has recorded in this word. These things is what he was going to experience. These were the difficult times he was going to be talking about. Like I said in verse number 16, he was going to find rest in the day of trouble. And it's the idea of living in this yet. He's saying, yet. You know, I have a God I can serve. I have a God I can love. I have a God I can go to. So no matter what you bring to me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. So let's look at the three things we can always rejoice in. Yet I will rejoice. Three things we can always rejoice in. The first thing I want you to see, I believe in this passage of scripture, we see is rejoicing in his stability. Rejoicing in his stability. I think this speaks of his sovereignty. Circumstances can change, but God never changes. Verse number 18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You see those all capital letters. It's referring to Jehovah there. He's referring to the self-existent, the eternal, the changeless, the covenant-keeping God, the great I am. He's saying to Habakkuk, is saying, you know what, all these things might happen in verse number 17, but there is something I can rejoice in, and I can rejoice in the fact I serve a God that never changes. I serve a God, my circumstances might change, everything might falter, everything else might fail, but I have a God that never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's like Egypt, the 7 years of plenty. He was God, and people thought he was a great God then. The 7 years of famine happened, you know what? God still did not change. When things are going well and we have many people coming to church and we see many people visitors and we see people saved, he is great God. But when things are a little bit leaner, he is still God. When we are feeling good and feeling great, he is still God. He's the same God as when we're sick and when we're struggling. He is saying here, Habakkuk is saying, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice. I have a God that is stable, a God that does not change. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What is that saying? It is saying that he is still God all the time. We might not be able to rejoice in the situation, but we can rejoice in his stability. We can rejoice in his sovereignty. We can say God is the one that's in control. You think about the stories like Job's life. Job at the beginning, he went through all those. He had a great beginning. And in the middle, he began to question. Habakkuk's book is similar, I think, a little bit to Job's. Now, Job went through more personal experiences. We don't see all Habakkuk would went through when the captivity had started. But Job here at the end, he sees God and he rejoices in who God is. And Habakkuk's doing the same thing. He's painting a very bleak picture of the future, but he looks away from the future and he looks to God. We might not always know what he's doing, but we can always serve God and say, God never changes. When we're looking on the dark times, the hard times, when things look bleak, when things do not look good, we can say, I'm thankful. I am rejoicing in the fact that God does not change. And it's wonderful. You think, well, I might not always understand his plan. You know what? His plan was good when everything was going well and everything seemed profitable and when everything looked like it was adding up to be the way it's supposed to. When we got those blessings, we're saying, oh, God's plan is great. But when times come hard, we begin to question. And don't get me wrong, I'm not super Christian. It's not like I don't question. It's not like I don't think. I'm like Habakkuk at the beginning. I'm saying, God, come on, look at all the things that are happening. Why can't we do something here? Why can't you purge the people? Why can't you fix things? Why can't you just pick it up and clean it up and shake off all the dust? Get rid of all those people that don't love you. Get rid of all those atheists. Get rid of all, can't you do all? He says, look, when things are good, you trust in me. He says, I'm still going to, you can still rejoice because the fact that I'm just not going to change. He tells us a few things in his word. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thought than your thoughts. So when we say, I do not understand what God is doing, we are reminded of things such as, I know thy thoughts, that I think toward you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. We remember things when it says, Romans 8:28, that he can work all things together for good. These are things that we can rejoice in. Like I said, there's a lot of things we can be grumpy about. There's a lot of things we can be bitter about. There's a lot of things we can say we wish the circumstances would change. But no matter how things may appear, we can praise the Lord and rejoice in the fact that God is still in control. He still knows what's best, and he will always do what is best and right for us. We can believe this. It can become a reality. And this is what Habakkuk's doing, and Habakkuk's saying is, chapter 17, I think, is the worst he can think of. I think when he's saying this, this is something that's going to be recorded, obviously, in our Bible, but it's also recorded for other people to read. And he's saying, look, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And yes, that's going to happen. Yet, I'm going to choose to rejoice the Lord. And I can choose to rejoice in him, because remember when God took us, and we looked at this last week. Remember when God took us through the Red Sea? He parted those waters. We, on that other side of the mountain, other side, they were saying, God is my strength. They were praising him. They were dancing and they were doing all these things. He was a great God then. But last week, like we learned, just a few days later, they were complaining they didn't have enough food. When God revealed himself on the great Mount Sinai, we saw the fear that was there. But just a little while later, what are they doing? They're worshiping a golden calf. There's problems here. And here's the point is, we can rejoice in the fact that we may change, but God does not change. He is still God, despite what is going on. He will always be God. You know what? That's the reason why we can rejoice. That's what Habakkuk is saying here. This is the idea of the sermon. Yes, all these things are going to happen, yet I can rejoice. Number one is because he's stable, or sovereignty that's there. He is God. He's in complete control. Second thing we can rejoice about is we can rejoice in his salvation. Rejoice in his salvation. Well, look what it says is, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And it's not just our salvation, but the God of our salvation. But we think about it. When we think about trials, we think about hard times, we think about, nobody can take my salvation away. I don't know about you, but that helps me. Things might get bad in this life, but nothing can take away my salvation. It is in the palm of God's hand, it is sealed. It has been taken care of. It is, in my mind, eternal, everlasting. All those words that are described. Salvation does not depend on the things that are going on. Salvation rests solely upon grace and the power of God. And if we have given our heart and believed and trusted in him, life is uncertain at best, but salvation is eternal in nature. One phone call from a doctor can change a person's life forever. One phone call from a doctor can change a person's perspective forever. But here he's saying, you know what? All these things can happen, but we make it applicable to our life that nothing can change our salvation. The word salvation applies to more than just the soul. The word is referring to a deliverance, a rescue. This puts us in mind that he is rescuing us from that day. And things may get bad here, but remember, this world is not our home. We can say, you know what? This is lousy. This stinks. This is frustrating. I don't want to go through this. You hear what Brother Jim says, and you know about the ladies, and I never heard that before. But it's just something you just can't even comprehend and wrap your mind around why someone would want to draft women into the army. It's just mind-boggling, but it's not unexpected in this world. But you know what? We have a better land. There's something that God is preparing for us. The best is yet to come. The Bible describes it as an inheritance. But this inheritance is incorruptible. This inheritance is undefiled. This inheritance fadeth not away, and it says reserved in heaven for you in 1 Peter 1:4. That means there's nothing that can take it away. There's nothing that can even corrupt it. There's nothing that can defile it. There's nothing that can cause it to be less important. You know what? We may lose everything here in this world, but I cannot lose him or what he has given me. You think about the story of Job. They took everything they could away from him, but they could not take his relationship with God. God's salvation never ceases. You know what? We can rejoice in that. Sometimes we tell that to people when they are going through hard times. And I talked to a few people today that was going through some really hard times, and they were things I never hoped to have to experience, to be honest with you. And I see people, and I see them deal with cancer or deal with pain or deal with a loved one that just seems like it'd be so hard to deal with. And I don't have all the answers, but I can say I'm thankful that none of these things will affect your eternal home, your eternal security. These are things. Once again, it's not promised to everyone. It's promised to whoever will call upon him. It's promised to those who will repent of their sins, to those who become a new creature in Jesus Christ. But once we're saved, I believe the Bible teaches that it's an everlasting, eternal salvation. Another thing that we can rejoice in. There is a lot we can rejoice in. That's why we're trying to stay close to this passage of scripture. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. So the third thing I like to rejoice in, not only his stability, not only in his salvation he offers, but also his strength. You know what he's saying here? The Lord God is my strength. So we can think about this. He is my strength, that we can rejoice in the strength he has. We serve a God that can do all things. It's not limited. I know I was talking to someone today, and I even talked to somebody last night. I said, God is able to do it. And they reminded us, you know, he is able. Because sometimes we question, we say, well, you think God... It's not whether or not God can or not, it's whether or not God will. His strength, his ability, our strength does not lie within us. The Lord is our strength. We are unable to stand. We are unable to handle these things on our own. We cannot go on our own. He helps us when we're in the deep valley. He leads us to the higher ground. And Habakkuk is saying that this is not just going to be enough. As we learned in verse number 16 last week, he says it wasn't just the fact that I was going to make it through when the captivity happened. It wasn't the fact that I guess was going to be able to hang on and hold on to it. He says he was going to find rest. He was going to rest, and he was going to find and be able to rest in the Lord during this time because he knew who God was. In verse number 19, he's saying, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. This word hinds feet, it speaks of agility. It speaks of swiftness. It's talking about a type of animal's feet that is able to maybe even jump over the different dangers that are found there. But he says it's not even that far. He says he's going to take him to the high places, to the mountaintop. He's talking about God's enabling ability to rise above our circumstances. Remember, if we let God renew our strength, we will mount up his wings as eagles, and we will be able to rise above the circumstances of this world. God gives him the strength to stand above the battle, to enjoy the precious freedom in the Lord. In other words, he's saying, you can take my doubts, you can take my worries. He says, I'm just going to choose to rejoice in you. I'm going to just choose to shout. I'm just going to choose to do whatever it is in my problems. I'm going to have peace in the midst of my problems. This is what I believe God did for Job when he said, when he looked at himself and he finally got it, and he got peace. It's what Paul got when he said, my grace is sufficient. It's what God can and what God will do for us if we will rest and we'll learn to rejoice in him. God enables his children to stand when their own strength fails. Therefore, we can praise him. Therefore, we can say, you know what? I can be upset about my circumstances. I can be overwhelmed. I can be frustrated. But there are some things that people can't take from me. They can't take my God away from me. My God is stable. He is rock solid. He is the same yesterday, today. He's the same forever. There's nothing about him that will change. But he also, he is someone who offers me his salvation. But it's not only there. Not only does he save me, put me on my way to heaven, he actually gives me his strength to be able to handle these circumstances. He actually is saying, I can rejoice in this because I know I have an unlimited power source in my Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that lives in us. Psalms 118 says, the Lord is my strength and song. And I like that because he's saying, not only is my strength, he is my song. He is, as it says at the end of the verse, this is the chief singer on my string instruments. He is the reason why I can rejoice. He's the reason why I can praise. He's the reason why I can spend throughout the day. No one can take these things from me because I can still have a song in my heart. The Lord is my strength and song, and it's become my salvation. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. It over and over in scriptures, even in Ephesians 3:20, he says, now unto him that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh, not in him, but according to the power that worketh in us. It's the strength that he gives us to stand. It's the strength that he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the strength that he gives us, the ability he has enabled us with. Now, it's according to his power. It's according to his power source. But we can rejoice in the strength he gives us. You say, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to make it through tomorrow. You know what? After we get done tomorrow, we make it through. You know what we rejoice in? Not that we made it. It's that God gave us the ability. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I don't know how I'm going to see through it. We can rejoice in some things. Now, as I said before, it's not the idea that we walk around with a fake smile on our face and don't act like we are hurting. The Bible says there's a time to mourn. The Bible says there's a time that we weep with those that weep. There are times of hardship. And there are times when things will get dark. And there are times when things will seem overwhelming. But here's the point. Yet I will rejoice. And that's what you see in verse number 17. You can put whatever the example is there. Although I might get sick. Although I might lose my job, although I might have a family member that gets sick or lose a loved one, although America goes the wrong direction, or although my best friend hurts me, or someone I trust turned his back on God, or someone I looked up to committed a sin, although my husband or wife doesn't treat me the way that God wants them to treat me, although my child breaks my heart, although whatever you want to fill in there, because that's what Habakkuk is doing. He's just giving us some examples that we could put those, we could write many things on there. But verse 18 comes, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I can always rejoice in his stability. I can rejoice in my salvation is not affected by the things of this world, but I can also rejoice that he gives me the strength. His grace is sufficient for me. He gives me the strength to make it the next day. It gives me exactly what I need to be able to overcome that next obstacle. And I go back and I read this passage of scripture, and I look through the whole book of Habakkuk. I see a man who was complaining to God, just like we complain many times. God says, okay, I'll show you what I'm doing. Then we're like, God, you can't do it that way. And then God has to teach us, just be quiet. I want you to live by faith here. That's what a just person is going to do. You're going to trust in me. And then he begins to show his mightiness and his power. And Habakkuk in the end says, you know what, God? You are right in the end. I'm just going to learn how to be rejoicing in the God that I know. A God that is stable in his sovereignty. A God that is offering his salvation. And a God that offers us his strength. The question is, do we live in that yet? Do we live in the presence of God? Do we come to the spot where we say, yet I will rejoice. Yet I win or lose, I'm going to still rejoice. Hardship or prosperity, I'm still going to rejoice. When people turn their back on me, or when people are my best friends, I'm still going to rejoice. Habakkuk got to that point. I can't say I'm always at that point. I can't say that I'm always the guy that is rising up with my hind feet and making me walk on the high places all the time. I get down at times. I have to remind myself of these things. I have to go through these things and say, you know what? You are God. you are faithful last week when things are good. You know what? You're still faithful today when things don't look so great. You are God, and I'm trusting you in my salvation, and that no matter what anybody does to me in this world here, that will not affect my eternal home. And you are God. You gave me strength, the ability to handle what was in front of me. Let me make you my song. Let me make you my muse. Let me meditate on you. Let me find my help and my hope inside of you. Yet I will rejoice. Although all these things may happen, yet I will still rejoice. That's what God desires for us, is to always look to Him. That's why we talk about keeping our eyes focused on Him. You know, it's not the idea of looking at those things like we learned Stephen on Sunday morning. His eyes are focused up on Christ. He wasn't looking at those angry men. He wasn't looking at the people giving the false accusation. He wasn't looking at the people throwing bricks at him or stones at him. His eyes were up there, and he kept his focus on Him. You know what? As we keep our focus on Him and set it down here, you know what's going to happen? We'll learn that yet I will rejoice. That's what Habakkuk had to do. He had to get his eyes off of the wickedness of the world and get his eyes on God. He went to that tower we saw in chapter number 2. He learned a lesson that God wanted him to learn. And then he said, yeah, I'm going to learn. I'm going to look to Him and I'm going to learn how to rejoice. No matter what happens down here, yet I will rejoice. Tonight, let's learn how to rejoice. There are things we can rejoice in, even when the world's going crazy. And it's stability, and it's salvation, and in His strength. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.